We're going to continue to talk about some of these different things that pertain to God. I think it's so very important for us to know about God. Isn't that a good thing? Amen. You know, after all, he ought to be kind of the hub of our wheel. Amen. It's good to know about something that you say, well, yeah, I believe in God. Really? How much? To what extent? Do you know anything about him? So I think that I've enjoyed, anyways, I don't know if you have, but I've enjoyed the study on these things. And I hope that each time I have an opportunity to preach and to teach, please understand that the things that I say are not the end of the subject. They're just kind of, most of the time, just barely scratching the surface. Please stand, if you would, please. Psalm 29, kind of right smack in the middle of your Bible almost. Just these 11 verses here. And we've talked about many things that God is. The God of truth, God of peace, God of love, God of all grace. And so we've talked about a whole bunch of different things that God is. And certainly we could leave off at any moment and have a better understanding of who and what God is. And it really who and what we're supposed to be, because are we not supposed to be in his likeness, right? In his image. And certainly Jesus Christ being God is all these things as well. So tonight we're going to look at another one, and I'm going to read out loud. You read along silently here. In Psalm 29, the Bible says this: Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness, of a beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Did you notice what David said there? In verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. I just want to kind of give us a little bit of a reminder of the God of glory. The God of glory. We serve a glorious God. He's the God of glory. His glory is spoken of. Did you notice in verse 9? It says, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. In verse 1, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. The God of glory. You know, glory has about 8 or 9 different definitions as a noun. Yeah, it just goes on and on and lists different things. And you know, later on in scriptures, the word glory is used to describe heaven. Receive me to glory. Okay, so you understand that. So there are lots of different descriptions. We can give glory, but someone can be glorious, or the God of glory, if you will, in this respect. And it simply means, in this case, brightness, luster, splendor, and magnificence. He's the God of these things. Remember what we've read in Psalm 19? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. In Psalm 24, just a few Psalms before this. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Folks, there is no other being more magnificent than God. There is no other being of greater splendor than God. There is no brighter being than our God. You know what it says in the New Testament about our God? It says here it is. In 1 John chapter 1. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Can anybody think of anything brighter than something that has no darkness at all? I can't. Could you think of anything with more luster than something that has no darkness at all? You understand, folks, that our God is the God of glory. Over and over again, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, declaration after declaration has been made about God and his glory. It's something that he is. He is light. He is glorious. His glory is of renown. Even the heathen talk about the glory of God. You understand that all throughout Israel's history, they were supposed to be the reflection of his glory to the nations. How'd they do? Okay, sometimes, right? But their mirror got dirty. maybe the silvery backing of the mirror began to kind of strip off, and light just kind of went right through them. Amen? I don't know. But it didn't reflect very well sometimes. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses says about the people, "And ye said, Behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. And we have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth." You know, God's not trying to hide his glory from us. He wants his glory to shine. He wants his glory to show forth in this earth. His brightness, splendor, magnificence. Folks, do you blame him? He's God. It should shine brightly. And we, his people, ought to reflect it brightly without impeding it. In Acts chapter 7, it said about God's glory being shown to others. It says, "And he said, Men and brethren and fathers, hearken." This is Stephen speaking to the Pharisees. "The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan. And he said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee." God showed his glory to Abraham. God showed his glory to Moses. Remember when Moses was on the mountain and God was dealing with him? And he was talking to Moses, and Moses was speaking with the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing that also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." Isn't that cool?
Wouldn't that be neat if we had that kind of relationship with God? Folks, can I tell you something? It should be that way. It should be that way. And He does know your name. And we do know His name. But how close are we really? It ought to be that way. And listen, He says, and Moses says this. He said, and He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I mean, God's talking to Moses. Moses is told by God that he's found grace in His sight and He knows him by name. And Moses is kind of just like, but I want a little more. Now, I don't think he said it out of greed. I think he was enjoying this close relationship with God so much. I think that he had, think about it. He's up on the mountain there and he's talking with God. And down in the valley, the people are down there and they're seeing the glory of God as smoke and fire and raw. And Moses is seeing a whole different side of God's glory. And he's experiencing a closeness with God. And he said, hey, God, you're talking to me here and please. And God basically tells him, Moses, if I show you my glory, I'm going to kill you. it'll kill you. It'll just, you'll be done, gone. And he says, he goes on to say, this is in Exodus 33. And says, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by. Listen, folks, God's talking about His glory as if it's His very essence. Because it is. He says, as my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand. And thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Listen to me. That's amazing, first of all. But secondly, as he came down from that mountain, the people were freaked out. They said, whoa, Moses is an alien. They didn't have glow-in-the-dark paint back then, folks. But he was shiny. He was glowing. Why was Moses glowing so much? Because he had been so close to the glory of God that maybe a little bit of it got on him. Do you understand? Whoa. I mean, they had to cover his face with a veil because they couldn't stand to look at him because it was so bright. Do we need to go around wearing veils today? Say, nope, none of us are in danger of that. Why? Why? You know, in relation to this, didn't in the New Testament, as the church was blowing and going for the Lord, that people began to take notice that some of the Christians had been with Jesus? Does anybody know whether or not you've been with Jesus? How is God's glory shining in your life? You know, God's glory is what it is. It is His very essence. It is His very being. It is who He is. He is the God of glory. But it's not just for Himself. He's not hiding it from us. He's showing it around. And He wants us to take part in it. As much as we can. Moses had the, some may call it audacity to ask, God, show me your glory. I just want to see it. I just want a little taste. When's the last time you asked God to show him to show you His glory? In Psalm 57, David said, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Until these calamities be overpast, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me, he shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue sharp as a sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let thy glory be above all the earth. You know, God has revealed his glory to us. You see, how is it that God has revealed his glory? You remember this prophecy in Isaiah 40? Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You say, what? What are you talking about? Jesus. Jesus. You understand that obviously we have not had the opportunity to see Jesus face to face in a physical sense. But the disciples did. The people back then did. And we get to see him in a spiritual sense, if you will, when we come to him for salvation. God's glory has been revealed to us. Jesus himself said in John 8, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He's God's glory revealed to us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes and says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, little g, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You understand that that's how it is for us. So now that we understand a little bit about God's glory, his majesty, his luster, we need to make sure that we know that it's been revealed unto us, but for a purpose. For a purpose. Remember, I talked about the children of Israel. We're supposed to be reflectors of God's glory. Had they seen God's glory? Yes. What are we supposed to do with it? Shine it to somebody else so that they could see God's glory and love it and want it and say, hey, can I have it too? That's so beautiful. That's amazing. It's so shiny. I want one. You know, that kind of thing. And when we need to do the same thing in our lives. In John 11, the Bible tells us about Jesus having this encounter with Martha. Remember, Lazarus had died. They were friends of his. Why did Jesus let Lazarus die? Why did God let that happen? Did you know there was a purpose for it? Could God, in speaking of God in the form of Jesus, could Jesus have healed him 30, 40 miles away? Absolutely. And did they get word in time that he was sick? Yes. But he tarried a while until Lazarus had passed. Why? Well, in verse 40, in John 11, it says, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? He's telling Martha this. Then took they away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. There's a purpose. Folks, we need to show the glory of God to others. Have you seen the glory of God? Have you seen it? Have you experienced it in your life? You know the first time you experienced it personally was when you realized you were a dirty, rotten, filthy, no good for nothing sinner. Bound for hell. And you turned and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You saw the glory of God. What are we doing to reflect that light to others? Are we not supposed to let our light so shine before men? Are we supposed to show them these things so that they can see the glory of God? In Colossians chapter 1, it says, speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's kind of important, isn't he? And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You understand that all of this is talking about Christ, who is the image of God. In other words, he's the glory of God revealed to us in the flesh. And you understand that we're supposed to show him to every man. Later on in that passage, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's our only hope. It's Jesus Christ. And we need to show him to others. Paul said this, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. You know, God's glory shines so brightly that even if we reflect it a little bit, it shines through. It shines through. Why? Because it's so powerful. It's so potent. Just ask Moses how it was. He didn't even get to see God face to face. Because God said, if you did, he would die. Probably just burst into flames. Spontaneous combustion. because it's just amazing. And God's glory certainly is that amazing. Like I said, time fails me. Thank you, dear, for my sign. If you'd like to see my sign of the passage in Hebrews, what shall I say? Then say more. What shall I then more say? Time should fail me. Okay, amen. But God's glory is a vast subject. But all we need to do is just be good reflectors. Be good reflectors of his glory. His glory is unspeakable, really. It's just so vast. It is so glorious. It is just so magnificent. It certainly takes care of all the different adjectives that can describe this noun, glory. But you understand that it's been revealed to us. We have seen it in the person of Jesus Christ. And we just get to be have an opportunity to be reflectors. Even just a little bit of the glory of God to others. One last passage of scripture. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you.
But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. It may seem hard sometimes. It may seem difficult. Do you think Moses had it easy? Not with those people. Bunch of murmuring, complaint. Wait a minute. Kind of sounds like Christians today, somewhat. But we need to endure and rejoice because we are partakers with Christ. God wants us to do our part. He is the God of glory. His glory has been revealed. And we need to reflect it so that other people can see the glory of God. So that other people can see His brightness, His luster, His splendor, and His magnificence. Let me just remind you what we started with in Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. He is the God of glory.